to the show on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Drew Becky, he is the captain of Atletico Ottawa, been kind enough to share his thoughts throughout Canada's journey to and now at the World Cup. How are you doing this morning, Drew?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Great, great. Really appreciate the time again. And I mean, you're watching with everybody else. Canada's sitting at 0-2. When we talked to you after the first game, I think it was like, yeah, you know what? Great game. Didn't get the result. After the Croatia game, not maybe quite as positive. So as we sit here on this Wednesday morning with one match to go, what are Drew Becky's feelings about Team Canada at the World Cup?
Well, you know, the first thing I'll say is that, you know, we stuck to our guns. The first game, we didn't come out. We didn't sit back. We attacked Belgium. We had our chances. You know, we had some possible PKs that weren't called, and we went away from that result and with a positive attitude going into Croatia. And for the same thing against Croatia, we did a very similar game plan. We came out and we were exploited by a better team on the day. We started well, very exciting. I think everyone's going to remember that amazing goal in the first minute. But with the, you know, Croatia showed their experience. They showed their quality at every position, and unfortunately, we didn't have enough on the day to really compete.
Any issues with Herdsman's lineup decisions and tactical approach to the game?
You know, there's been a lot of narrative about you know, Atiba struggling in the midfield. I can understand that, but this guy has been the lifeblood of the national team for 20 years. This guy deserves to be out there, and I know we're going to a World Cup to get results. It did look he was struggling with the pace a bit. It hurt to see that Eustáquio got injured as well. But you know, we have to put the guys out there that have proven it. You know, Lauren wasn't able to get a lot of chances there. You know, Davies did well. I think the back line was still good. You know, they exploited the spaces in front of our back four. They got in behind our midfield and they dominated that way. Luka Modric and Kovacic on the day was very, very good. So when you have two guys that have won 9 Champions League together, which is incredible. I don't know if there's anywhere else on any other team in the planet that has that many, you know, together in the midfield. We're going to be in a little bit of trouble. And so it shows where we need to go. It shows what we need to do to develop. And I'm still proud of the guys no matter the result. I'm still proud of them. And what Osorio just said there is they're going to go into the last game trying to win and leaving the World Cup on a good note. And I'm really excited to see them play against a good Moroccan team.
Tell me how difficult this would be for John Herdman to balance. Back to the Atiba Hutchinson, because I think, listen, whether you're a huge fan of the game and know the game intimately or you're just watching as a casual person, you could see that he was struggling in that game. And John Herdman said afterward, my plan was to take him out at halftime. But essentially, he asked to stay in for a while longer. And I understand it's a 100th cap. You know, he's the longest serving veteran and, you know, Canada's at its, I get all that part of it. How difficult is that for the manager to balance what the individual is telling him to what may be the better thing for the team?
It's very difficult. I myself have never been in that position, but I can understand being in that locker room sitting there at halftime and you're thinking, you're sitting and you're seeing a guy that you idolize, you're seeing the guy that you have the tremendous amount of respect for, and that's me coming at it from a view of a player, let alone a manager who, you know, is coming from a background of, you know, he's had a huge rise in the game, coming from taking the women to the World Cup now to the men's side. It doesn't matter if you're Tata Martino or you're John Herdman or, you know, whoever you are as a manager, and you see somebody who's given that much to Canada soccer, who's brought the game to the people of Canada and lifted it up in such a way that has not been seen in our country. How do you look at that guy and say, hey, no, you're coming off when he asked to stay on? I couldn't do it, you know, so it's a tough one. And when you're in the game and you're, you know, you're down, what were we down at that time? 2-1 at halftime,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
It's such a tough one. I don't really have an answer there. I think, you know, you give the guy, you know, 10 more minutes. But you know, if we're looking at the bench, we didn't have, you know, we had Piet that could come in and do the work, which he, you know, he should have, I think, with Eustáquio being injured. But it's a tough one when you're trying to still chase the game and you got a guy that's struggling physically.
Would you agree at the club level it's sometimes easier to make these decisions? You could deem it to be financial, but this isn't just a Canadian issue. or even soccer for that matter, when you play for the national team, that attachment and turning the page on veteran players can be really tough for any country.
Yeah, we see it a lot in hockey, right? We've had a tremendous amount of examples of that. But the pipeline for the players coming through gives credibility to the coach's decision. You know what I mean? We don't have that yet. We don't have that many players competing at 20 to 30 players, 30 players that are knocking at the door to say, hey, Tiba, no, you're out. Hey, Vestakia, no, you're out because we got the next guy coming and the next guy coming. That's what the next 10 years for us, I think, as a country, is that we're going to be keeping developing these players. Can we get them over to Europe? Can we get them in the Canadian Premier League where they're getting games at 20, 21 years old to say, okay, we're exposing them to the higher levels at a young age. And then when we get to the next World Cup or we get to 2030, we're having guys knocking on the door that gives the coach an opportunity to say, no, it's this guy's time to play, and makes those decisions. Well, they'll still be tough, but it'll make it a little bit easier.
With Drew Becky, the captain of Atletico Ottawa, this next question, Drew, is going to be very easy for me to ask with my hindsight is 20/20 glasses on. So I've got them firmly on my face right now as I ask this question. There was so much focus on Canada getting a first ever goal at the World Cup, and it finally happened, and it happened right at the start of that game on Sunday. Do you think that Canada, in retrospect, took a breath after that, and it's kind of like, well, we checked that box. We got a goal. And I don't say that they lost focus on the bigger picture of winning the game, but there was a letdown after that?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point you bring up, because the game is so psychological. And when you're coming up against a quality side like Croatia, who had come off a draw, a probably poor result for them, they were hyped because of the comments that Herdman had said. And we struck first, and we used our quality of speed and getting down the flanks and have Buchanan have a great cross and an amazing leap from Davies. I think they were shocked. They were scared of Canada in the first 20 minutes. We won the first 20 minutes of the game. And what, you know, when you're analyzing games before you play or you're looking at it hindsight like you are, you look at, okay, where in the game did we start to lose it? Well, we had a great first 20 minutes. We had them on the back foot. They started getting into the game about the 22nd minute, and they dominated into the half. Now, after you get to halftime and you're down 2-0 or 2-1, excuse me, we had it. You're right. We had a collective sigh of relief that we scored. But can we take that next step and say we got to keep pushing? Got to keep pushing. I don't know if we are at the quality right now as individual players, as a team, to keep pushing that agenda in the game when we're up 1-0. Now, not to say we go back into a shell and maybe have a very solid block. But we could have done that. But that's not the identity that we have as a country or what Herdman wants to do. So you look at it on both sides and you say, there's positives to take here, but then we were exploited defensively quite, evidently, losing, 2-1 at halftime. And then in the second half, we're chasing a game where we have to be a little bit more expansive. And we were clinically beaten. But, yeah, there could have been a sense of the players, okay, we scored. That's a chip off our shoulder. We've checked that box. I don't think that was something that they really thought about in the game, but you could see it develop in the game.
Thoughts on Jonathan David's first two games?
I don't think he saw enough of the ball. The guy is dependent on the ball. He was out wide. I like to see him in a more central location behind a forward because he can get in those pockets, turn, facilitate. He was a little bit out wide, and for me, he struggled a bit, and I don't think that's anything against him because he didn't see the ball. We focused a lot on the left-hand side with Davies, and David didn't get many crosses into the box. He lives on those balls in pockets right above the box, and it was a frustrating thing to see that he didn't get the ball.
He, like a lot of players, I mean, when you're at the world, the spotlight shines brightest at a World Cup, and the guys that perform really well can springboard that, not the guys that are already at a superstar pay level, but maybe a rung or two or three below, and can really, and they get moved around clubs and et cetera, et cetera. Do some players, you think, are feeling, not just Canadian players, but just overall, do you feel the pressure of the moment and the pressure of the World Cup and the pressure of, hey, this will dictate my future, and sometimes to their own detriment?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that there are some players that are feeling that that responsibility, not only just, you know, individually, but playing for their country. So if you're looking at a balancing act of 50-50, I'm thinking about, I got to perform for, if I perform for my country, then my professional side, personal professional side, will take care of itself. That's how I see it now as a 32-year-old, you know, that I have had more experience in the game to that sense. But when you're young, you're 21, 22, 23, you're trying to balance all these things. You're feeling responsible for your family, maybe, or you're feeling responsible that, okay, if I really do well here, I have this pressure on myself, then I'll get a move to a big club. Or your agent's in your ear saying, hey, let's push it a little bit, let's push it a little bit. You know, this club's talking to you, or this club's talking to me. There's a deal here, XYZ. So to that point, being able to just focus solely on playing for your country, being a part of your team, and allowing those things to take care of themselves sometimes gets a little bit too big. And again, it's the psychological part of the game is massive and not spoken about enough. But yeah, we do see a lot of examples of that this World Cup, and I'm not going to sit here and criticize that because I'm not there. You have to perform for your country first, and those things will take care of itself. And unfortunately, in some cases, that's not happening.
Like the players, do you think Herdman, as a young guy, has learned a lot? And just thoughts on how he handled things post-game in relation to his comments towards Croatia?
I'll take that one first. I think that he stuck to his guns. John Herdman is a guy that he's going to be honest, and I like that about him. And he really didn't shy away from that. He felt his comments were appropriate in the sense that he was trying to rile up the group and get the group going. And, you know, maybe he did that. He did that. But he also got the other team going. And maybe he'll learn from that to say, okay, I can maybe approach the aspect of the media in a different way. You know, there's always learning points for everybody, myself included. And I'm learning a lot in the World Cup, and I'm not even involved. So to be a manager for somebody who's taking a women's team to the World Cup, now it's taking a men's team, and the job he's done is fantastic. So I'm not going to – it's just like a player struggling in the World Cup. You have to look at the last 12 months of play if you're going to, say, get Jonathan David at a big club. You got to look at the last 12 months of play. You got to look at the last 12 months of managerial role that Herdman's played. And there's going to be a lot that we learned. And going into I'm hearing that we might be able to get into a Copa America for Canada in the next coming years. That would be huge. We're in another tournament. We're getting better. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
With Drew Becky, captain of Atletico Ottawa. So back to the kind of the comments of Jonathan Sario, kind of setting up Canada's final match tomorrow with Morocco. And again, have never won a game at the World Cup, never got a point at the World Cup. It's easy to, or not easy, but you know, you fully understand why I would say, yeah, we got lots to play for. It's one thing to say that. It's another thing to know that as soon as the match is over tomorrow, your World Cup is done. It's over and you're going home. How difficult is it, if at all, for players to self-motivate to try to get a result tomorrow?
I would think the players are still very, very motivated. It goes back to your comment of, okay, now we're out of the World Cup. We know that. So we can compartmentalize that aspect and put it to the side. Let's focus solely on Morocco. Let's focus solely on getting 3 points and showing what Canada is as a team, what Canada is as individuals. We have some injuries now. There's going to be different changes to the lineup, I would assume. Other players are going to get an opportunity. So players are going to be ever more personally motivated to show well at the World Cup to say, okay, clubs are watching. I'm going to have a chance. We already have Alistair Johnson going to Celtic. I'm sure there's other talk with other players about going to different clubs in Europe. So this is yes, we're out of the World Cup. But you forget about that and you push yourself personally and collectively to say, okay, I got to show what I can do, not only to Herdman, to Canada, but for myself personally. And so I'm really excited to see what they do. I hope we don't change anything in terms of our identity. We've done well of pressing, but we got to be a little bit more aware of the space in behind ourselves. Morocco will be very good technically, getting into those spaces. And I'm really excited to see what happens.
And based on, I guess, as you said, you measure it in the last 12 months, do you not expect a group where all the pressure is off to actually come out and play some great football?
That's a fantastic point. There is.
Thank you.
We don't have the pressure, right? What do we have to play for? You're playing for a team. Let's go out and get 3 points or 1 point, something like that. Score some goals. Have an exciting brand of soccer that has been talked about this World Cup. Even though we don't have, even though we're eliminated, it's not the same narrative that Qatar's getting, right? We have an exciting narrative. So let's go out and show that.
Mm. We've seen just as an overall on the World Cup, we saw a few huge upsets in first games. Things have kind of returned to a little bit through norm. Some teams have played, countries have played 3 games, others 2. Who has impressed you maybe the most? Maybe give me 1 or 2 countries that you think are really, really looking good to maybe win it all, and maybe a couple that, while they may make it through to the knockout stages, you think that they aren't quite going to be all that and get knocked out fairly quickly.
Obviously, England showed very well against Wales yesterday. They look like they're humming now. They're going to be a big contender going through. I'm excited for Portugal. It's nice to see them do well against Uruguay. I thought they had a very mature performance. They have quality at every position. You just saw a 39-year-old Pepe come in and tone down one of the most expensive signings in Premier League history. With Darwin Nunez and Luis Suarez and Edinson Cavani. So if you can see that their depth has been very good. So England, Portugal, which have been stronger countries historically, but they've shown very well. The States squeaked by yesterday, and, they'll make it to the round of 16, but they'll have a tough game against the Netherlands in the round of 16. So I'm not sure that they'll move on from that, but... nice to see that a CONCACAF team made it out into the round of 16. Otherwise, I'm excited to see Argentina in the last game. They learned a lot, I think, from their win in the second game. And as you spoke about as we were coming on, Saudi Arabia has a chance to go through, Argentina, all those teams in that group. So that'll be a very exciting day, I believe, tomorrow that they play. So it's really coming down to a round of 16 that you're going to see quality teams playing against quality teams, and that's what you want. We're not going to see a lot of huge upsets. It was interesting to see, I believe it was Senegal that made it through over Ecuador. That was a bit of a surprise for me, but again, it's nice to see an African team make the round of 16. So it's panning out to be a really, really great next few weeks.
All right, good stuff. What are you watching? Recliner, standing up, pacing, watching these games. What's the Drew Becky kind of game plan?
A little bit of both. Yeah. A little bit of both. I'm going to become one with the couch if I don't get up. So I gotta move around. And you know how that works. So
absolutely.
I'm enjoying it.
All right, good stuff. Really appreciate the time and the insight. And we'll check in back with you next week. We're into the knockout stages and getting down to the short strokes, actually. So it all happens pretty quick. Really appreciate the time, though, this morning.
No, thank you, guys. I look forward to next week.